This is Brock and Salk
from the Alaska Airlines Studio.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com and the 710 Seattle app.
All right, final hour here of our week, Brock and Salk. And yeah, I don't know if we're being lazy or not, but we're relying on you guys here for the next half hour before we get to our 10th most intriguing Seahawk on our countdown, 206-421-3776. The big board is out of the top five callers. Kendall's still on top. Roger has not defended his number two title in a while.
This Brian in Tacoma.
Adam in San Ramon, California. Yep. And then Brian in Bellevue. Those are our top five callers here on the board.
Roger is getting cocky.
Yeah, what's up with that? Yeah,
no, he doesn't feel the need to defend his title. No, sure, actually, he's number two.
Sure seems that way. All right, 206-421-3776.
May be off this board. If Roger doesn't call this morning, he may come off of it. I'm just saying.
The phone line is 100% open. We still have a bunch of lines because I don't know why. But you guys, there's a million different things for you guys to comment on. Look, just to run through a couple of the option things you want to weigh in on. Earl Thomas is desperately flirting with the Cowboys.
He's a flirter.
He has tattooed a Cowboy star right onto his heart.
And his right buttocks.
And wow. Yes. Just in the last 2 hours.
Correct.
Isn't that amazing?
Yes.
So Earl Thomas is flirting with the Cowboys. The Mariners have dropped 4 out of 6 in fairly uncompetitive fashion in all 4 of those games. They have not pitched well. They have not hit well. And they've hit a skid. Oakland is now 5 games back. They are still 3 games behind Houston. That's kind of where they're at. How do you feel about that? Where they're going, where they've been, what they need to do?
There's the age-old Oakland-Houston debate that brings up so much others. There are plenty of Seahawk conversations. Are you confident? Do you got a number on them? Is we're just now, what, this is the penultimate weekend before we get going, football will be on the board for the next 6-plus months?
Are you willing to start drilling people like Luis Valbuena and the way he behaves? Like, are you okay with drilling people in baseball? How do you feel about that?
I mean, do you have the Wenatchee spot that I've got to see this afternoon and go eat at? I mean,
so
any
the world is your oyster. 206-421-3776. How are you going to contribute to our show today?
And what generation are you to begin it?
206-421-3776. Larry is in Spanaway. Larry, what generation are you?
I think I'm a baby boomer.
You're a boomer. All right. Let's start with the boomers. All right. What's on your mind? Wow, the boomers. No, you're hearing aid. Let's go. I'm just kidding. Larry, what's on your mind?
We need to get rid of Earl Thomas by any means necessary. The thing is that we got a lot of new coaches, we got a lot of new players, we got a lot of people with a lot of stuff to prove, and they're willing to go after it. We don't need the distraction and the negativity. We need to get rid of him and move on.
Larry, that is a hot take. That is a strong call. I would expect nothing less from a baby boomer. And there is a part of me is we're building up to this, and we're just less than 2 weeks away now from training camp. There's a part of me that would really, I've said it, and I believe it. You need to just take the high road, not say anything. You know, you do not give him any room. There's also a part of me. There's no crisis of conscience, but there's a part of me that wants to reach out and say, how are you going to handle this in a week and a half? I don't want to be blindsided like I was with Cam. How are you handling this? Are you going to hold out? Are you going to come here and feign an injury? I want to get right to the heart of it. And if you're going to come here and you're going to fake an injury, then we're not going to want you here. Don't even show up. So, yeah, it's going to be fascinating, Larry, over the next couple of weeks to see. I don't think they'll placate him. I don't think they'll play to his demands and wishes at all. And I think the Seahawks will be pretty strong in their conviction about you've got a contract that's paying you top five money as a safety in this league. Come finish it out. And if you're willing to finish it out, you've got a spot here. And if you don't, you're going to play games, then we've got no time for you.
All right, 5 lines full, 1 line open, 206-421-3776. What's on your mind? Open line, Steve in Yakima. Hi, Steve. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing today?
What generation?
I am millennial, Generation X.
Okay, great.
Kind of in between? Those are two different generations.
Don't really know. That's okay. All right. I love
how
it.
Old
don't
are
like
you?
Labels.
How old are you, Steve?
I'm 35.
So. You're just right. Yeah, you're probably that's what I still call Gen Y, but you're sort of tech. Yeah. All right.
Bring it.
All right. So I think that they should sign Earl to a long-term deal. Oh. And if he keeps doing this, the stuff where he's talking about going to wanting to be in Dallas or anything like that, then go ahead and trade him. But don't trade him to Dallas.
Steve,
trade him to
Steve. He is telling you he does not want to be. He wants to be in Dallas, yet you want to sign him to a long-term extension?
Well, he has said in the past that he doesn't want to play for Seattle, but but he'll only do it. You know, he wants to play for Seattle because he doesn't think he's going to get a long-term deal.
What has he shown you? What has he shown you over the last 9 months?
He showed us that he wants to leave.
So why then, with a player that has shown you that, that has expressed it publicly, that won't set foot here in his words until they take care of him, why then do you still want to take care of him, knowing that he really doesn't want to be here, and the only reason he would be here is if you overspend significantly to pay him?
I don't think you're going to overspend. I do think he's the best safety that's out there, so I don't think you're going to overspend to keep him. And that's why if he doesn't change his attitude, then you trade him away. Mm-hmm.
That's awfully difficult to do because then you're trading him.
After you sign him.
Well, the other hard part there, Steve, is number one, you're not going to change. It will further infuse his attitude with even more dough. Number two, then he becomes impossible to trade. Then all of these teams that have no cap space.
I don't know if I would agree with the first part of that, Brock. This is not some young guy getting his first contract and you're worried about him getting fat and happy. The worry is whether or not he truly wants to be here. And it's possible that the reasons he has complained about it is because he doesn't have the contract he wants, not because he doesn't want to be in Seattle.
The second part, I think there's some
validity to his point there.
There's total validity, though, that you cannot sign him to a long-term extension and think you're going to trade him. That's just not how it works in football.
I would agree with that. That's just not the way the game works. 206-421-3776. Open phone lines on any subject. Five lines full, and yet I think actually all five of them have to do with the Seahawks and Earl Thomas. So I guess that's apparently what's on your guys' mind today. Let's go with Rich, who's in Mount Vernon. What's up, Rich?
Hey, how you guys doing this morning?
Hey, we're doing great. What generation are you, buddy?
I am Generation X.
I could have guessed that from your voice. You have a Gen X sound to you.
For sure.
Absolutely.
Born and raised Pacific Northwest, Gen X.
Love it.
You know, and been watching the Seahawks all my life. You know, and in the Pete Carroll era, it's always been next man up, right? That's kind of what that's our mantra, is next man up, next man up. And it's just, you know, similar to Robbie Cano. If we had said, Robbie's going to get suspended, how does everybody feel? It'd be panic and mayhem. We can't lose him, but it was next man up. And I think it's just like a marriage. You know, you don't go into a marriage thinking that, well, there's some things that need to be changed, but I'm sure they'll work themselves out. You know, before you make that commitment, you got to know for sure that everything is the way you want it. And I just think it's a message to the team. You know, the decision is hard, but you always do better after the decision is made. It's just, you know, I think.
Hey, Gen Xer, man. Hey, Gen Xer, we're kind of weaving here, all right? Like, we've got Robbie Cano. I got marriage advice.
I was really worried you were going to say it was next spouse up.
Sure. So let's boil this
down.
When
in doubt.
Let's boil this down, Rich. Let's simplify the message. You got one thing to say. What is it?
I think we need to let Earl Thomas go and just send a message to the team that, you know, if you're not 100% in, then we just don't tolerate it.
Appreciate
and give
it.
The other guys an opportunity to make it happen.
You see how coachable Gen Xers are?
Yes, very much
so. That is awesome, Rich. Yeah. Thank you, bro. Really, all these calls all want to talk Earl and Seahawks?
Every single call here is a Seahawks/Earl call. Every single one.
You think that's just a little dark place for Mariners fans that don't want to talk now? They've had a little tough stretch. And
they've lost a couple games. I don't want to listen to sports radio.
I don't want to get to a Mariners going to get to the All-Star.
I don't listen. I don't like it. I don't want to listen to sports radio.
You call us dumb. You're calling all of them like wimps. Like, geez.
Stay out of the way. Way to go,
it's a feisty Friday. Let's go. 206-421-3776. My favorite caller, Kendall Sanders. Santa Monica, number one on the big board. What up, dude?
Hey, guys. What's going on? How are you?
We're good. How's beautiful Santa Monica?
It's dominating Roger.
God, I was missing Santa Monica yesterday. Heather and I just finished watching season two of Goliath, which is really good. Season one was better. Season two was good.
Bro, what? How can you miss Santa Monica in these days?
Oh, I don't miss it. No, I don't miss it. This is perfect.
Thank you.
But Santa Monica's like today every day. Like every day, like today in Seattle is Santa Monica like
and what is Kendall
11
doing?
Months a year.
And what's Kendall doing every day listening to this show?
I don't know. I hope he's listening outside. Okay. Get outside, Kendall.
I'm actually sitting on my patio.
Oh, as you should be. Awesome. Where in Santa Monica are you again? We figured this out. Remind me. Up near Wilshire?
On the water. Wilshire, south of Montana.
Oh, that's so great. What a great spot.
Okay, what you got this morning?
All right, guys. So I was watching Dunkirk last night.
Great movie.
Simultaneously getting hyped up for the Seahawks season. And as I was watching Dunkirk, I started feeling that the way the film was structured across the theaters of air, sea, and land was a perfect way to look at the Seahawks and a great metaphor for where they're at. And maybe where they're going to go. So last season was, in the words of Winston Churchill, a colossal military disaster. You lost Sherman and Cam in the bloodbath of Arizona. You're all paying free safety societies. He wants to leave, and it looks like all is lost. But in the air, you have Russell Wilson, and that's Tom Hardy, you know, basically single-handedly saving everyone. And I think with an established running game, he's going to have his best season yet. The C is the rescue. That was the unheralded people, the people who sacrificed and took their normal day boats out to save the soldiers. And I think that's the youth movement of the Seahawks, the people no one's talking about, but I think they're going to have a great year. And then the land, the soldiers who are waiting for a miracle, that's us. That's the 12. we're hoping for something to happen. And I think for us as the 12s, we just have to maintain faith and maintain hope in the face of the dark place. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the film ends with this speech from Winston Churchill, which is a little dramatic, but I think it applies. It says, "We shall fight on the beaches, we shall fight on the landing grounds, and we will fight in the fields and the streets, we will fight in the hills, and we will never surrender." And that's what the 12s have to do. And that's why I think the Seahawks season is going to be magical. It's going to be a miracle.
Strong calls. You're really counting on the youth, man. You're counting on those boaters to come over and rescue. Kendall, are you a Gen X? Are you a millennial?
I'm sorry.
Oh, whoa.
Yeah. I answered the phone. He said, "Hello, fellow millennial."
Yeah. Oh, millennial.
Really? So is he a retired millennial? How does he have so much free time?
Yeah. So our number one is
early 80s to mid-90s is the standard.
Okay. Born early 80s to mid-90s.
Okay. Someone said 97 is the cutoff.
Yeah, and then there's some thought that the people born between like 80 to 85 are actually Xennials, that they're sort of that in-between. I'd always called that Gen Y, and then think of millennials as being sort of from 85 on, but hey. I
mean, maybe if you're there, you can just choose to identify with one or the other.
Oh, well, hey, in our society today, lady, you can choose.
Why not?
If you want to be a baby boomer, just say you're a baby boomer. It's fine. Nobody knows who you are on the radio. Let's go with Ricky, who's in Seattle. Ricky, what's going on?
Hey, guys. I am one of those stupid people between 80 and 85.
Oh, all right. So do you identify as a millennial or do you identify as a Gen Xer?
Definitely more Gen X. Yeah. Millennials, a little. No. Just no.
All right. Fair enough.
Okay. Bring it.
All right. My thought is that I think that John needs to get on a plane, go to Orange, Texas, wherever Earl is right now, and just talk to him. No agents and say, "Hey, look. Here's the deal.
Yep.
Every team, especially the Cowboys, got every chance to make a trade for you before the draft. They decided they wouldn't even give up a stinking third-round pick in order to get you. We value you too much to give you up for less. Here's the deal. If they want you this much and this is where you want to be, he told them to come get you. They did not come get you. It's where we are."
Congratulations. You've made the top five.
Top five.
Ricky, I can't tell you how much I love that call, and it's why you're a Gen Xer. There's no question about it. I totally and completely agree with you. Yeah, this is move the agents aside. Don't you have enough relationship after nearly a decade together?
No.
Been through all the ups and downs. Move everybody aside and go meet him man to man. That's what John Schneider's engendered with many of these players in a unique fashion. Go meet with a man to man and just, I think, spell it out, Ricky, exactly as you said.
All right, where are you putting Ricky on that board?
Where do you want to put him?
I don't know. You have to decide who you want to kick off. I mean, someone's got to go.
I mean, I'm real tempted to kick Roger right off this thing. Okay. I've not heard.
Well, haven't heard from Adam in San Ramon. There's plenty of others.
Adam called earlier this week.
He did?
And, quote, "throw shade, it's your last caller." That's what he's known for.
But that was like a month ago.
Brian and Belby had a great point about Russell being a traitor upper, and I got a lot of texts from some people liking that one too. Brian and Tacoma.
Brian and Tacoma's been AWOL.
That was while Brock was gone.
Okay, Brian and Tacoma.
You put him
out
in the three spot?
Yeah, Brian's right. Out. Yep, Tacoma. He's in. Brian and Bellevue's
206-421-3776. Jared's in Marysville. What's up, Jared? Good morning.
Morning.
Hey, man. What generation are you, Jared?
I am unfortunately listed as a millennial, but I definitely consider myself more between X and Y.
Okay. It's amazing how many millennials don't want to identify themselves that way.
Mostly those early on in the generation.
Fair.
So I gotta say, just it's really hard not to let the Mariners cynic in me come out with all this stuff happening at once. You know, I know it's minor stuff like the knee injuries on the 10-day DL for Zunino, Felix's 10-day DL, Paxton's 10-day, but just losing 4-6 and having the age creep up on us.
You're feeling the dark. You're feeling the darkness, aren't you?
I am feeling the gloom and doom.
Let me ask you this, because I've been sort of accused of that earlier. If the A's were still 10 games behind, would you be feeling the gloom and doom then?
Not nearly as much.
Same. I mean, if the A's weren't winning, I'm not worried about how the Mariners are playing. I'm worried about the future now that the A's are in it. And that's why I was sort of objecting to the doom and gloom thing. I'm not concerned about the Mariners long term. Teams are going to have six-game stretches where they don't play well, which is what's happened to the Mariners here. And you're right. You got three guys on the DL, all three of whom are going to come back right after the All-Star break and make you virtually whole again at that point. So there's no panic here about the Mariners. It's about all of the sudden the way the dynamic has shifted in your division. And it's not just, hey, they're not playing well right now and they'll get back. It's they're not playing well right now and everyone else wins every single night.
And it's the toughest division in baseball. So what do you do? How do you fight this gloom and doom and darkness?
I'm really looking forward to seeing what DePoto can pull off with his wizardry. Mm. I'd love to see something help. I know there's no way we're going to get Hamill. It was nice to hear that rumor, but I didn't think there was any way we were going to get that with prospects. But if we could just get some stabilization, maybe just get a good sixth man in the rotation to help spell the duration issues, that for me would, and of course, win a game, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
That would, for me, just like really solidify my belief that we are going all the way.
How about like score five runs in a game?
I was in high school.
Yeah. We'll see, man. I appreciate it. Thanks for the phone call, Jared. And I think he's got the right perspective. It's hard right now not to let the negativity kind of overwhelm you when they're not playing well.
Mm-hmm.
But I think he's right to try to look for some level of perspective there, right?
Yes. 22 games above 500, right? An all-star break that is coming. A Robbie Cano, that bat that is coming. That's one of the best moves that you can make.
That has found ways to kind of put negativity behind them and bounce back.
Yep.
But this week, I mean, the rest of this weekend is a challenge, man. Going to Colorado, where that team just put up 19 runs the other day, they are a hot baseball team, and you saw how good they looked here. What are they going to look there? And now, by the way, you got to take Nelson Cruz out of your lineup? Bergman's throwing tonight. You got Bergman, LeBlanc, and Leak to try to finish off this first half.
Yep.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a really big, important series for the Mariners, there's no doubt. 206-421-3776. Grab John in the Tri-Cities. What's up, John?
How you doing?
Good. Open lines. Whatever you want to talk about. What generation are you first?
All right. I'm not sure that you can put a label on me. I was born just before the Second World War ended, so I'm not a boomer.
Wow.
But I'm not a greatest generationer either.
All right.
You're just a stud.
If you wanted to label me, I guess I'm a Vietnam veteran.
All right. Fair enough.
I would take.
All right, John. Bring it, brother.
I have a view that everything is a matter of perspective. And I've heard Lydia a couple of times kind of contemptuously talk about participation trophies. I want you to know that of the ribbons that I am qualified to wear, only one is an individual. That's my Army Commendation Medal. Every other one that I have is a participation trophy. That's the National Defense Ribbon. That's the Vietnam Service Ribbon. That's the Vietnam Campaign Ribbon. Mm-hmm. That's the Vietnam Cross of Gallantry.
Right.
My Good Conduct Medal. They're all participation trophies.
Okay.
There is, and I take great pride in wearing those because I did participate.
Yep.
In a time of conflict, so I merit the National Defense Ribbon. The guys who didn't serve in Vietnam at the time still merit that ribbon because did serve.
John, to be fair, I think Lydia's misguided. I think that's a misguided target. Probably be more on Mike and I as far as participation, and certainly on the Montgomery Biscuits. That is the minor league franchise that's handing out participation slips and awards. But I appreciate so much your service. Thank you for your phone call.
100%. 206-421-3776. Let's grab Jody, who is in Snohomish. Hi, Ooh, Jody.
Good Jody, morning. What's up?
What's up, Jody?
Hey, good morning.
What generation are you, Jody?
You don't ask a woman her age.
No one asked your age.
Oh, bless you, Jody.
Which generation do you identify with?
Okay, I'm a boomer.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bad reputation asking women their age, Mike.
I didn't ask her
her
age.
Look on you.
Howdy. I asked her which generation she identifies with.
Do you want tickets, Jody?
It's about identity.
Do you want tickets?
All right, Jody, what's on your mind?
Do I want tickets?
No.
What?
Stop. Nothing. What's on your mind?
I the last few days have switched camps. Okay. Earl needs to go.
Oh.
His flirtation the last straw?
Yes. And it's like we need to start training camp here very shortly.
Yep.
everybody on the same page, no malcontent. You've just got to gel and come with the joy and passion to play and to be a Seahawk.
Yep.
Unfortunately, Earl has made it very clear he does not want to be a Seahawk, and I don't think they need that attitude in the locker room.
Appreciate the phone call, Jody. I think there's a lot of people around who agree with you of all generations. Thomas and Puyallup, go ahead quickly.
Hey, yeah, I was just one thing real quick. I was born in the early 70s.
Okay.
Earlier this week, I was reading an article in ESPN. They were saying who might be on the hot seat at the end of this year, and they were saying a Seahawks going 9-7, which they probably would put Pete Carroll, a 66-year-old Pete Carroll, on the hot seat and probably fire him. What do you guys think?
Well, what did you think?
It caught me by surprise because they took us to the Super Bowl twice, not last year, not the year before that. I mean, these guys haven't had plans during the playoffs. You know, they've been off in vacationing. We got expectations out here. We love Pete Carroll, but, you know, I mean, if we go 9-7 and we miss the playoffs, I think they need to make some changes.
Wow.
The seat will get hotter. Thomas, I'm with you there. I don't know if it's hot. Mike and I have debated and argued this
a little
bit. If
they go 9-7 with this roster and don't make the playoffs, but it looks like they're improving,
correct,
that seat will not be hot even a little bit.
Not at all.
Now, if they go 7-9 and don't make the playoffs and some of these young guys don't take a step forward,
yep,
you maybe will hear some of that conversation.
Yes.
He's not getting fired at the end of this year no matter what.
Tough to imagine.
I just can't fathom the idea.
But the young people.
Could he walk away? Maybe.
Young people.
Is he gonna get fired? Come on. After one off year, no chance. Come on. There's no way that happens.
Interesting.
I just don't see it. Strong I know you lines. You and I disagree.
Strong phone lines this morning.
Very impressive, guys. Great, great job on the open lines here on a Friday. All right, we're going to do a little answer the question jerk in 20 minutes. So, of course, we're going to need some questions. You can start sending them in to 710-710, powered by Coors Light. Don't want you guys to forget, you can win a pair of Seahawks season tickets by participating in 6 Degrees of Danny, Dave, and More. There's a great list of 100 celebrities that they want to interview on their show. If you can convince one of those celebs to call in, you could win the tickets to every Seahawks home game this season. Details and rules at 710sports.com/win. You can see the whole list of celebs there. All right, coming up next, we are on to number 10 in our most intriguing Seahawks countdown. I'm surprised this guy is not a long-term Seahawk already. We'll tell you who it is next. I'm Brock and Salk.
From the Alaska Airlines Studio,
this is Brock and Salk.
Streaming everywhere at 710sports.com.
That's cool. Guest booked for Tuesday, Kelsey Plum's going to be on the show.
Kelsey Plum and Jeff Passan. That
yeah,
is
that'll
powerhouse
be a fun show.
Tuesday.
All right, so Tuesday of next week, Kelsey Plum at 8:30.
Yep.
She has been fighting the good fight. WNBA players upset about not getting what they believe is a fair share of the revenue that comes into the league, and she was on Twitter arguing a little bit about it this week. I thought it was a good point she made, saying, look, we're not arguing for just more money. We're arguing for the same percentage of the total take that they get in the NBA. Do they deserve it or not? I don't know. It's an interesting conversation.
CMA, and can the league function if that were to be the case?
I don't know the answer to that. Yeah. In theory, I would agree with her. In practice, I wonder whether or not that's actually a possibility. I'm excited to talk to her, if for no other reason than because she's an awesome guest and fun to talk to and a great basketball player. So we'll do that on Tuesday. We have been going through our 12 most intriguing Seahawks as we are now just 10 shows away from the start of training camp. And so today that leads us to
number 10.
Left tackle, Dwayne Brown. I like where you have him here at number 10. I think that's appropriate. I think you could.
Obviously, I'm great at this.
This is maybe one of your greatest gifts on this show, is your top intriguing player list. I think he could be in the top five, Mike, as far as pure intrigue. What is he? Who is he? Is he the Pro Bowl caliber player that they gave up a lot for? That now when you look at Earl Thomas and you're just trying to trade for a third and realize what you gave up to get Dwayne Brown in a position of need there. I believe he is. Of all the players I watched, in fact, at OTAs and minicamps, man, I was most excited about watching that man work. He is a professional. And an offensive line that's graded in the, number 30 in the league by some, certainly the bottom third. It feels absurd to say that when you've got a top five to top 10 left tackle in this game. But that's what Dwayne Brown is. He is capable of doing that. He's intriguing also because you would and I would like to lock him up long term. And that contract, as of yet, not been done. Dwayne Brown says, I'm not thinking about an extension.
I've been telling it, you know, You know, I trust that everything's going to happen in good time and, you know, when it's supposed to. For now, I'm just concerned with, you know, this moment, embracing every day that I have here in the offseason. Like I said, this is the first time I've been able to work with this group of guys in the offseason, and I'm really cherishing it and enjoying it. You know, it's my 11th year going into, so, you know, I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned with improving as a player, helping my group up front improve, and doing all I can for this team, and everything else will work itself out.
And I think, speaking of improvement, this is a system with Mike Solari that I think will be a very natural fit. When you're top 5, top 10 left tackle, you should be able to play in just about any system. Zone system like Cable, like he played in Houston, fine. Or a little bit more of a traditional or power system, block down, use your strength. He can do that. Dwayne Brown, not going to have a problem flourishing in either of those systems.
Well, and now that he's been here for a while, perhaps, as Pete Carroll suggested, we'll see an even better Dwayne Brown than we did a year ago.
Our offensive linemen, we're going to basically be back again, and we're going to be growing, and we're going to be more experienced. We've got Dwayne for a whole season and an offseason and all of that. That's a huge deal. He's a fantastic football player. Posick's getting better. Britt's going to just continue to improve. Fetty's going to get better. You know, and we know all the improvements are going to happen. We went out and went after DJ Fluker to get a big monster of a guy that, you know, that could play inside.
And we don't hear Pete for a while. You remember, he talks fast. Look, there's a bunch of things and to like and be intrigued by when it comes to Dwayne Brown. They spent a lot on this guy.
They did.
A lot of resources. Two important picks were given up in order to acquire Dwayne Brown. Why? Because he's big.
You know, they know he looks like a big door.
That was John Schneider saying he looks like a big door. He is. He's a big dude. But that's not the thing that makes him intriguing. What makes him intriguing to me is whether or not he can step up and be the leader of this group. Brock, you've told me a million times that the best teams you played on, the leadership emanated from that offensive line room. There has not been another offensive lineman on this team for a while has been worthy of that level of leadership or with the personality to go with it. By all accounts, Dwayne Brown has that. And in year two now, his first full year here in Seattle, his new offensive line coach, Mike Solari, he's expecting some of that.
Dwayne Brown's awesome. You know, Dwayne Brown is a pro. You know, I say he's a pro, the way he goes about his business off the field also, you know, a great example. It's a great guy to emulate, you know, in the sense of his fundamentals. Again, it's exciting to work with him. Anytime you have a chance to work with a player at a high level, it's exciting to coach, and you could lean on him as far as an example on how to do things properly.
Yeah, Brock, he is a commanding presence, and that's the first step. The next step is how does he choose to use that leadership? Mm-hmm. And by all accounts, he's good at it. They're going to need it.
If you would have said to me on that day where you and Kyle were stuffed full, had your waffles, chicken, everything else. We were at that gas station in Phoenix getting ready to
fly. Jimmy Graham day?
Oh, Jimmy Graham. So gross. I was so full.
If you would have said to me that day, and we were pumping gas, getting ready to head to the airplane, said, do you know 4 years later, we're still going to be talking about the Max Unger leadership void? I would have thought, come on, that is crazy talk.
I'm not, though. I don't find myself thinking about the Max Unger leadership void. It's not about Max Unger to me. It's about, like, that trade and the problems with it are so much more about Jimmy Graham. They were going to cut Max Unger either way because they didn't believe in his health. The Jimmy Graham thing is the problem there. Yeah, all right, they've missed Max Unger as it turns out.
I think it's one of the most important parts of a football team is to have leadership. And when it's from an O-line, it does emanate and it helps everybody because it's not one guy. There's five of them because it's a selfless job many times, a thankless job. So when you actually get a strong leader that can lead that crew, half of your offense is led and taken care of. And then your flaky running back, he can do whatever he wants to do. Your wide receivers that want the ball in their divas, that's fine. That's all of them. But if you don't, you don't have that shield in front of you leading the way in unison as a group, which you've not had. You've not had since Max Unger left. And you're right. I would tend to agree. It's not Max Unger. It's that role. Mm. It is that voice and that position of I'm both good enough, tough enough, bad enough to lead this thing. And not had it. And I think Dwayne Brown has that opportunity. He's good enough. He's talented enough, and now he's been here, you know, going to be here a year with his feet underneath him to take more of that opportunity.
Gosh darn it, people like him.
Gosh,
all right, there you go.
Darn it, go.
That's number 10 on our list. We got 9 more to go, obviously, leading right into training camp. A week from Thursday, we'll be out there for first day of Seahawks training camp. Dwayne Brown, the 10th most intriguing Seahawk on our list.
Who said that this week?
Huh?
Gall darn it. Was it gall darn it?
Somebody said that.
Gosh darn it.
I don't know. Gosh, I was just going through Stuart Smalley.
Oh, gotcha.
You're good enough. You're strong enough.
Because I'm good enough. I'm smart enough. And doggone it.
Doggone.
People like me.
There you go.
That's right.
This are we still weird. Allowed to play Al Franken on
I know,
the radio?
I said that back here to Lydia. I was like, I don't know if we're supposed to play this, but...
I mean, I think we can reference it. I don't know if we can play it. He's disgraced. Like so many other people over the course of the last year. Yeah, all right. It's too bad. Stop disgracing yourself,
all our great
everybody.
Brian Williams drops.
We used to use those constantly. Stop disgracing yourself.
Pretty weird. People. This is it. Penultimate. I remember these weekends as players. You looked at the calendar. You're like, oh, boy.
Yep.
God, this is the last weekend because next weekend players are already packing, getting ready, planning. They know the following week you're out. I mean, this is kind of the last weekend for a 6-7 month journey that you kind of have to go sit out at the lake or relax or try to enjoy yourself because it's going to be here sooner than later.
All right, were you guys ready to finish up the week here with a little bit of Answer the Question, Jerk? 710-710, powered by Coors Light, and getting out nice and early to give us a long stretch of answering questions. So I hope you guys can bring it with some good questions to finish out the week. 710-710, powered by Coors Light. As usual, any question on any subject, we're ready to answer them next on Brock and Salk.
That is read what others are saying and join the conversation. That's what hashtag longbody, I think.
Wow, that's what a hashtag means.
Yeah.
This is Brock and Salk. Answer the question, jerk.
Keep asking questions. Come on, I'll answer them. Come on, I'm here. I'm going to answer your questions, dang it.
Answer my question! The question, jerk!
Well, don't just stand there. Answer the question, jerk!
All right, let's finish this up. Answer your questions, whatever they are. 710-710, powered by Coors Light.
You got some decent ones?
I do.
Great.
Of course. Trust the people. Why wouldn't you? Ooh, that's tough. All right, let's see. Let's dig right into these. Jerks, the best protein snack is?
Protein snacks. So not like something you just
egg?
Cook up. Yeah,
hard-boiled jerky. Egg's a great one. Beef jerky. In terms of the bars, outside the 3010 stuff, I would say those Quest bars for a combination of taste and being low-carb, high-protein. Hard to beat that.
I would agree.
Can you get like 8 almonds like Russell Wilson was doing there for a while?
8 almonds.
8 almonds?
Yep.
Have you had those dill pickle flavored almonds at Whole Foods? Do you like dill, the flavor of dill? I love it.
Mike, no one They're else awesome. Can afford to shop at Whole Foods but you.
Hey, don't knock
it. I was immediately out.
Whole Foods
when you
now
said
cheaper
that.
Than Trader Joe's, at least for some items.
Really?
I was told you, both places, same six pack.
Interesting.
It was $11.50 or $12 at Trader Joe's. It was $10 at Whole Foods.
Wow.
Amazon, man. They made the whole thing cheap.
Yeah.
It's not even Whole Foods anymore. It's just Amazon.
Next question.
Lydia, you're pretty shy. Is it weird being a quasi-celebrity in the city? That's a
quasi
question.
Who says that?
I don't. That's a text.
No celebrity. No, I'm not. I'm not a celebrity. So.
Do people notice you ever?
No.
Nobody said hi to you at Safeco the other day?
People did. Yeah.
Okay. So I mean, that's a celebrity of sorts.
Yep.
It is. A
it's
level
hard to be noticed
celebrity.
In your own living room.
It's on the celebrity spectrum.
I know.
So what do you think? Is it hard?
Next question.
Next question.
That answer is yes.
So you won't even answer people when they ask text questions? It's kind of rude to the people. The people have questions about you and you won't answer.
I don't consider myself a celebrity, so.
Do you find, are you?
Thank you for texting in a question.
Do you enjoy talking to people when they come over to you?
Absolutely. I always love talking to people.
I think the answer to the question is yes.
Do you like being a celebrity?
I don't consider myself a celebrity either. I think quasi was a very important word to throw at the beginning of that. Our old digital guy, James, used to refer to us as local personalities.
Yes.
Which I thought was a good way of describing it.
Yep.
Yeah, absolutely. It's nice when people come over and say hi. I don't have your level. Though. Like, if I were you, I think I'd get annoyed by it because everywhere you go, people recognize you. Yep. I get recognized just often enough for it to be like a nice ego boost and makes me feel good.
Yep.
If I were you, I think eventually it would get to me. It would get annoyed.
Not that big a deal.
Really?
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, you're a gracious
I'm not,
person.
No. I look like a Dan Marino or Tim Tebow or those guys. That's like,
that's a different thing.
That's
and that people, is a different level.
People
different
with yellow, you know, those gold jackets.
Yeah.
But for Brock, that's got to be like more of a normal reality for you because it's kind of been since you were like 19 or 20 that this is how your life has been. It's a little different than maybe starting your career and getting your fame here.
True.
But here's also the thing. Brock's just so nice anyway that he would be going talking to every single person, whether they were coming up to him or not. Salk and I experienced this at the draft night party.
It's unbelievable. Lydia and I could just sort of hang out in the back and nobody notices us. And Brock, the pressure's on all the time. Ugh, no thank you.
Next question.
That'd be nice. No thank you. Just kidding. Jerks, we have recently encountered a youth baseball team in our league whose parents are openly drunk at their 14-year-old's games. Would you find this acceptable or not?
No. New. And that's, yeah, that's a tough element. As I said, Salky, your world, it's interesting. In our life, speaking back to my life, like especially as a professional, we always had friends that were just one stage ahead of us.
Right.
Kidna's, Peterson's, William, they're just always like one stage ahead of us.
That's where you are
friends,
to me.
Friends at church that were always like one stage ahead of us. And that's where I feel like at times, a little bit with you and I, as far as the parenting thing and what's coming for you. And I've said this to you how many different times? Just wait till you sports.
Yeah.
Your eyes are going to be opened in so many unique and...
I have a different answer than you do.
Terrifying and awesome ways.
Here is my answer to this question specifically. Drunk at your 14-year-old's game, unacceptable. Drinking at your 14-year-old's game, totally acceptable. That's my feeling.
Moderation.
Absolutely a good idea to bring one or two drinks to your kid's game. Getting drunk at your kid's game, you should be ashamed of yourself.
We only found out years later that in high school, one of our parents' friends had a little McNaughton's going on, sure. Like in a hidden. And because he was always just
right.
Nice and kind and polite.
Drunk, inappropriate. Oh. Having a couple drinks, maybe mandatory. Or something close to it. Hey, you know what I'm doing tonight?
What?
First of all, I'm going to play golf, same course, twice in 4 days.
Yeah, dangerous.
So I'm excited to see if that helps the score or hurts it. But then I'm going to go see Skid Row tonight at Snoqualmie Casino.
Those guys are alive?
Sure.
I saw them on a plane years ago connecting
really?
Like somewhere on one of my wacky flight home. Yeah, they look
I've cool. Always there we go.
Oh, yeah.
This time, man, I'm kind of excited for this. Going with Tyler, we're going to go see Skid Row at Snoqualmie. Play a little blackjack, so I'm sure I'll have some good blackjack references for you next week. And, yeah.
Wow.
I've always wanted to see them since they went on tour with Guns N' Roses. Yeah. When GNR went on its big tour for Use Your Illusion, I remember watching an interview with them. They're like, oh, who are you going out with? And they're like, Skid Row. Like, can't imagine us going out with a Great White Lion or some of that. Like, we need some tough guys. So,
funny.
I'm assuming that they're going to be a bunch of tough dudes.
And where's that at?
That's at Snoqualmie Casino.
Nice.
Play a little blackjack after. Pretty psyched.
Why don't you go see Kyle on the way home? Right out there.
I thought Kyle was past there.
He's asleep over at his place. No.
Yeah, Easton. No. You'd have to keep going.
Oh, that's true.
There you go. Snoqualmie's really close. Seattle's closest. Snoqualmie Casino. Jerks, one of my pet peeves is people grocery shopping in their pajamas. What's your pet peeve? Really everything, I would say.
What isn't his pet peeve?
Everything is my pet peeve.
I think I can share this. Molly was so awesome. Molly and Heidi, we celebrated my in-law's 50th wedding anniversary, and it was her idea, Molly's idea, to every night slip a card underneath Gigi and Papa's door. And each of the kids separately, right? Just a little how much they appreciate them, celebrate their 50 years, and then ask a question or two that the kids had for them. Like first date, first car, first home, like all these cool things. It led to great conversations at dinner time. And Molly was really proud of her question. She's like, I'm really proud of my question. Because then we as adults did it the last night together. And Molly's question was there a pet peeve of your spouse's early on in your marriage that now no longer is a pet peeve? That when, like, early on when you started...
something
like,
that you now don't mind?
Correct.
But that, you used to mind.
That early on dating or early on... Well, thankfully, I didn't have to answer the question.
Okay.
She asked it to them. And I think she's just like, no! In fact, there's many of them that have still
they
been
gotten worse.
50 years. Yeah.
That'd be impressive. Something bothers you when you start dating,
correct.
And after years and years of
correct.
Marriage,
no
you're
longer
fine
pet
with
peeve.
It? I don't know.
Huh? I think my denim on denim. I think if I pulled that now,
Heather
Molly
and I have kind of grown to be more like each other over time.
Huh.
Like when we first started dating, she didn't really eat meat. I didn't really eat vegetables or fish.
Interesting.
And now we both eat all of that.
Blended.
Yeah.
Molly the same way. She didn't eat anything exotic. She,
right.
Yeah, so, but now she likes all the, yeah. Think about that. Is there a pet peeve of Heather's? And that now you're like, no, it's almost even kind of cute.
No.
Or vice versa.
Can't think of anything.
Nope. Okay. All right.
Nope.
Howdy?
Wendell's, maybe. His farting has not bothered me nearly as much as it used to.
What was the article that you read about dogs and parasites?
Well, that was just mean. That's this guy horrible. In the San Diego Union Tribune writing that dogs aren't man's best friend. They're parasites to the human race.
That's horrible.
Get a life,
get
dude.
Get him, bark.
He might be right, but get a life.
That was a wacky show. Kind of knew it from the minute I woke up today. Be a little wacky.
Feisty Friday.
Mariners, win a series. Get back on the win a series train.
Yes, please
just win
do
a
that.
Series.
Please win this series. Do it with Nelson Cruz basically on the bench. Do it with Bergman, LeBlanc, and Leak. Let's go. Get it done in Colorado. Beat the Rockies. We'll see you guys Monday morning, 7 a.m. for the All-Star break. Until then, the Hag.
Barn.
See you, everybody.
I don't know. I can't think of anything I do wrong.
This is the Cowboy!